Doing the mission now, the Daflam's Day Samanal, which begins by saying that Echad Dinei Mamonos, both Dinei Mamonos, monetary cases, and Dinei Nefashos, capital cases, where a person's on trial for his life, B'drisha v'chakira, requires drisha v'chakira, which Rashi says is chakiros v'drishos. Similar terms, shechokrim esa'edim. The interrogate. We're going to just use, at this point, we're not going into a study of what constitutes the specific substance of drisha v'chakira. We're just going to use it. That's an intense interrogation. The objective is to really be very tough and to decipher, to really be able to ascertain, to trip them up if they're lying, to ascertain if they're telling the truth or not. So now we're learning that this applies not only to Dinei Nefashos, but it applies to Dinei Mamonos as well. Well, let me ask you a question then. What, even on a simple level, what is the Chiddush, so to speak? What would I have thought without the Mishnah? Every point in the Mishnah is primarily going to be some kind of a Chiddush. The Mishnah doesn't tell you the obvious. Find it first. I'll look first. It's a reference, it's by Yerhani Dachas. It's when you hear the report that the people of a city corrupt themselves by worshipping the Avodah Zarah. That is the Darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. So you have, this is drisha v'chakira, to inquire and search out. V'hinei emes nochon adava nesa ha'toeva zos mikadrecha. So Rashi says on the spot, mikan lamdu sheva chakiros meribri ha'mikra. So then Rashi explains how they derive the seven. How the seven is actually alluded to in the Pesukim. There are seven questions.
What pasuk is
that? That's in Yud Gimel, Tez Vav. Doesn't hurt in these kind of cases to get a little just familiar, just the basic familiarity. Now, in Vayikrach, Perek Rav Dalad. So, it's talking about the story in Vayikrach. They're talking about the individual who was Makalel, who cursed, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that he should be taken out of the machne, and the entire people should stone him. Then he gives, lays down the rule. Gal bnei Yisrael t'daver lemor ish ki yakal elokav v'nosa cheto v'nokev shem Hashem mos yuma. So the death penalty for cursing Hashem. Then it says v'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam, murder. So it's reviewing, you know, basic laws that obviously are capital cases. Then it goes on to other forms of damage. Umaka nefesh behema yishal mena. Nefesh takas nefesh. One who kills an animal has to pay for it. Has to pay for it to restore the entire worth of the animal. Vishki te mumba miso. And the person wounds another person. Kasher also, as he did, king eos elo. The same is done to him. Want to say anybody? Alarm bells? The same is done to him?
So,
really? Literally?
No.
Literally, it would seem to mean that you do the same thing to him, but we already know that this, you know, in Shemos, we have ayin takas ayin, shein takas shein, mamam. That there's a reason why the Torah states it in this way, but there was never a time in history when it was applied literally. When God gave the Torah to Moshe and Sinai, he told them, ayin takas ayin is mamam. So it's monetary. So now we're in the realm of monetary payment. Umake behema yishal mena. And if he wounds an animal, so he has to pay. Umake adam yumas. And someone who kills someone is put to death. So now you have both sets of laws over here. Both sets of laws. You have the laws pertaining to someone who causes monetary damage, as opposed to someone who actually kills somebody. And then what does it say? Mishpat echad yilachem. That there should be one mishpat. Mishpat is a reference to the judicial system. Kager ka Ezra. Alright, literally it doesn't mean that. Mishpat echad yilachem is not talking about the drisha v'chakira on a literal level, but that's the medrash. That both Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos in the realm of mishpat, when it comes to be judged, is judged with the same principle, that is to say, that with the drisha v'chakira. So that's the, it would seem that the object of the Mishnah is not to just tell us that by Dina Nefashos you need Rishon Chachir. That's the given. That's you have that in the Varma that we know. But you might have thought, perhaps, that Dina Mamonis is not as demanding because you're just dealing with monetary matters. So there, Mishpat Echad teaches you to apply Drishil Hakira to Dina Mamonis. How would you frame that? Okay, in simplistic terms, not very deep, it seems that you might have thought that the Drisha V'Chakira is a din in Dini Nefashos. In Nefashos, we maintain much stricter standards and levels. As we've learned, it's part of the Hatzalah, you have to save him, and so on and so forth. However, apparently the concept of Drisha V'Chakira is connected to the fact that it's Mishpat. In other words, it's Drisha V'Chakira V'Shaftu Eida V'Tzilu Eida. Put it that way. There's two activities. One is Mishpat, simple Mishpat. And the other one is V'Tzilu. That you go beyond that, as we've seen, for example, in terms of the majority, simple majority for acquittal, majority of two for conviction. So basically, the Mishnah is telling you that the requirement of Drisha V'Chakira does not stem from anything to do with the severity of the case. It's not halachim dinei nefashos, and its purpose is not, the objective here is not to save the person, and that's why we've made it so demanding on the witnesses. But rather, it's halachim mishpat, that the phenomenon of Drisha V'Chakira is a phenomenon of mishpat. So dinei mamonis is mishpat echad yeh lachem, and by yichra, by bringing the two together, that's the allusion in the pasuk. Oops. Now the Mishnah says, what is different between Dinei Mamonis and Dinei Nefashos? Dinei Mamonis b'shlosha. Dinei Mamonis, all you need is three. Three means it's a simple bezdin. The Gemara learns in the first parak that three constitutes, as Rashi says, ha'yalfinim b'perakama. We learn out that the simple bezdin, all you need is bezdin. And bezdin is shlosha. The Dinei Nefashos be esrim. And Dina Nefashos is with 23, which means Sanhedrin. So as I said, we mentioned before, the 23 is not just a quantitative phenomenon, but it's a qualitatively different entity, which is Sanhedrin. That's very significant, because Bizman Azeh, we don't have Dina Nefashos, because we don't have the Smicha that would enable us to have the Sanhedrin. Now, Dina Mamonis poschin bein l'schus, bein l'chova. The Dina Nefashos poschin l'schus, the aim, poskim l'chova. All right, well, here is the poskim, it's the begin, the start. And what is it referring to? Because as we learned in the Rambam, the actual proceedings begins with the Eidus. They have to do Drisha V'Chakira. So it's very difficult to say that the very first thing they do is going to be l'schus. So Rashi learns that it would seem. Flame shot is that when phase one is complete, then you have the Eidus, they're finished with the Eidus. Finished with the Eidus would mean that they accepted the Eidus. They couldn't refute them, disqualify them. Of course, if they could disqualify them, so there's nothing to talk about. There's no case. You understand that? The case begins with Kabbalos Eidus. Once you have Kabbalos Eidus, then Bezdin is mechuyev to engage in a process of deliberation and to reach a verdict. So that process has to begin with Schus. Rashi poschin tchila b'maso u'matno shel din, the maso u'matno phase, deliberations. Of course, the question automatically arises. Questions that automatically
came to their emerge already.
Now, before it would seem poschin would be the beginning. Before any person offers his opinion, because otherwise, then it's not the beginning. That's what it would seem to be. First of all, what's the basis for this? What is the reason? Well, what difference does it make how you begin? That's the question that has to be raised. What's the context of this? Secondly, of course, the question is, and how so? How do you fulfill this requirement? What exactly is the schus? What are you supposed to do? In order to fulfill this requirement of poskim l'schus, now schus means something towards the innocence, some gesture which would, I guess, go towards the innocence of the person. A big discussion about this. There's different opinions, a lot of different opinions, so it's not so precious. Now, Dinei Dinei Mamanis, Poskin Bein L'Schus, Bein L'Chova. In Dinei Mamanis, you begin either with Schus or with Chov. What does that mean? What does that mean? What do you mean? Okay. Does the Mefarshim say that the reason, the difference, the essential difference between Dinei and the Nefashis and Dinei Mamanis is that in Dinei Mamanis, you really can't have a concept of Poskim L'Schus because you have two litigants. And if you favor one, if one wins, the other, there's always a winner and a loser. So, Zechuso Shalzeh, the exoneration of one is the chov of the other. You know, the victory of one is the defeat of the other. So therefore, the whole concept doesn't apply. That's what, explicitly. He says, Sha'ar Azbaram Yani Atzolahim. He says the rest of these things in the Mishnah are matters of Atzolah. V'yena mahapchin b'schus hanidon k'dei la'atzilo. But the reason for schus, like all, there's a whole set of series of laws in the Mishnah that have to do with schus. But there's a difference between finding him innocent and finding him guilty. So they all come under one basic heading, and that is Atzolah. That we were trying to save him. I will be in Mamanis, but in Dinei Mamanis, the more you are involved in the schus of one of them, that is a chov vis-a-vis the other one. In learning, in Dinei Mamanis, the entire concept of schus is absent. There is no, because, as we said, whoever you're going to favor, so that's a chol. I mean, the schus of one is the chol of the other. In terms of Dinei Mamanis, the Dayan just expresses his opinion. Simply, whatever he thinks is correct. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. However, in Dinei Nefashos, there's a significant difference between expressing a view, which is the schus, or chol.
The opinion of the Meiri.